choir this morning. That was what they sang was one of my favorites. I have several favorites. That's one of them. And I appreciate that. It was a real blessing. If you would this morning, would you turn your Bibles to Genesis chapter 4, please? Genesis chapter 4. We'll be looking at the first 16 verses of this chapter this morning, and tonight we'll be looking at Genesis 6, chapter 6 and 7 tonight. You know, salvation in scriptures is presented to us as coming from God and not of human works. There are many people in the world today who think that in order for God to forgive their sins or to get to heaven someday, that they must perform some service or bring to God something that would make themselves acceptable to God. And people don't understand that salvation is entirely by the grace of God. Ephesians 2:8-9, you recall that verse, "For by grace are you saved through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast." And we see that in the New Testament, the Apostle Paul and the other writers of the New Testament express the salvation of God as by the grace of God, the mercy of God is involved. And if we want our sins to be forgiven, if we want to go to heaven when we die, we must come God's way, not our way. And in Genesis 4, this morning, we're going to consider two men who lived their lives, and we're going to look at the character study of these two men, Abel and Cain, Cain and Abel. And hopefully we'll be able to answer the question, is salvation possible through human effort? And we see here in Genesis 4 that the Lord makes some interesting statements to Cain. And these two men who bring their sacrifices to Cain are to the Lord. God has something to say about both of them. So let's start reading Genesis chapter 4, verse 1. "And Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in process of time it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord, and Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock, and the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering, but unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth, and why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. And Cain talked with Abel his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and slew him. And the Lord said unto Cain, where is Abel thy brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? And he said, what hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. And now art thou cursed from the earth, which hath opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand. When thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee her strength. A fugitive and a vagabond shalt thou be in the earth. And Cain said unto the Lord, my punishment is greater than I can bear. Behold, thou hast driven me out of this day from the face of the earth, and from thy face shall I be hid, and I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond in the earth. And it shall come to pass that everyone that findeth me shall slay me. And the Lord said unto him, therefore, whosoever slayeth Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. And the Lord set a mark upon Cain, lest any finding him should kill him. And Cain went out from the presence of the Lord, and dwelt in the land of Nod on the east of Eden." And we'll stop right there just for a few minutes. First of all, we see in verse 1 that Adam and Eve had their first child, and his name was Cain. And we saw last Sunday night in the previous chapter of Genesis 3 how sin had come into the world through Eve and Adam. And right after this in Genesis chapter 4, we have Adam and Eve bearing their first child. And, of course, we understand that Cain and Abel both were born in sin, that they were born sinners. And we see, first of all, in verse 1, or rather verse 2, that she had another child, Eve had another child named Abel. And we see that Abel was a shepherd, he was a keeper of the sheep, and Cain was a tiller of the ground. He was a farmer. Cain was a farmer. Abel was a shepherd. And these two ways of life were quite common in the Middle East for hundreds of years. Farming and shepherding were two occupations that were quite common for the people to undertake in their lives. And Cain and Abel lived in a rural setting, which lent itself to farming and shepherding. And we see that the big cities haven't grown to, grown up yet. People weren't settled in cities as of this time. And we see in verse 3 that Cain and Abel brought an offering or a sacrifice to the Lord in verse 3. Now, Cain's offering to the Lord was the produce of his garden. You know, he brought fruits, vegetables, grain. And Cain presented these things as an offering, as a sacrifice to God. Now, you know, we see here, first of all, that, you know, Cain was no atheist. He believed that God existed. He knew that if you approach God, you must bring an offering. God required an offering quite different from what Cain brought him, however. You know, Cain's produce, those fruits and vegetables and whatnot, they looked very good. I'm sure they were. And they were very appealing. They were pleasing to the eyes. And it was an offering in which Cain would say, well, surely God will accept my offering. I've worked hard for it. And look how lovely and beautiful these fruits and these vegetables are. And, you know, some of you have worked in gardens. Maybe you've lived on a farm, perhaps, during part of your life, and or at least have raised a garden. And you know the time that has to go into raising a garden, you know, the work involved, the planning, the fertilizing, the watering. Sometimes it's a lot of time and it's a lot of hard work, and you've got to get out there and get your hands dirty and sweat a little bit. And but at the end of it all, when you see those fruits and vegetables come, you have a sense of satisfaction that you've worked hard to achieve what you have. And I'm sure Cain felt the same way. He had a sense of satisfaction in bringing this produce to God as an offering. And Cain thought, well, you know, God will accept this. I've worked hard. Like I said, I've worked hard, and, you know, it looks really great. Why wouldn't God accept something like this? And in verse 3, we see that when Cain brought his offering to the Lord, I think it's something that we should consider, that there are people today who would say, well, what's wrong with Cain's offering? Surely God would accept it. And people would say, well, you know, that's what I've done in my life. You know, I've got, here's something that I can bring to God to make myself acceptable to God, and he'll forgive me, and he'll give me a home in heaven if I bring these things and do these charitable deeds and these works. Surely God will be pleased with that. And we see in verse 4 that Abel also brought an offering to the Lord. He brought the firstlings of his flock. The Lord accepted Abel's offering because it involved a sacrifice for sin. The shedding of the blood, the death of an innocent animal. God accepted that offering from Abel. And you recall that verse in the New Testament, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. There is no forgiveness of sin without blood being shed. That is God's requirement. And Abel understood what God required. Abel brought the sacrifice that the Lord wanted. God was pleased with Abel's sacrifice. Abel, as we see here, was a godly man. Abel was committed to obedience to God in his life. And so, therefore, Abel, being an obedient man, a godly man, brought the sacrifice that God wanted, that God required. The firstlings of his flock, a sheep or a goat. And we see in verse 5, or in verse 4, at the end of verse 4, it says, and the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering, but unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. God did not respect, God did not accept Cain's offering. And why didn't God accept Cain's offering? Well, I think there's three reasons. Number one, it's part of a human plan. Number two, it was human effort involved. And number three, it was human pride working. It was a human plan, a human effort, and human pride. And we'll consider all three of those reasons. You know, Cain, what he did, he ignored the substitute for sin. Instead of bringing a proper offering to the Lord, Cain brought what he wanted, not what God required, you see. And Cain refused to accept God's plan. Cain thought, well, I've got a better plan than what God has. I'll bring the produce, these lovely fruits and vegetables, these grains. I'll just bring this to God, and he'll accept that. But, you know, we see reading in the scriptures that the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin, doesn't it? We also read the scriptures, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. That was in Exodus. When the death angel saw that blood on the doorpost of the Israelite household, he passed over that family and did not kill the firstborn of the Israelites because he saw the blood. And you recall that verse in Peter. First Peter says, we are redeemed with precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without spot and without blemish. When Cain brought his sacrifice to God, it was part of his human plan. Cain's sacrifice, Cain's offering, had nothing to do with God. Nothing. And the second reason that Cain brought up, that God did not accept his sacrifice, was because it was based on human effort. Human effort. You know, Cain worked hard to get his offering to the Lord, but, you know, there was not a drop of blood anywhere to be found in Cain's offering. Cain came to God on his terms. He had nice thoughts. He had nice sentiments, but he gave to God something that God didn't require. And, you know, if we have to be blunt about this, when Cain brought his offering to God, it was worthless. It was worthless. It was worth nothing. Because Cain brought the offering that he wanted. He didn't bring to God the offering that what God wanted, the sacrifice that God wanted, you see. And the third reason that God did not accept Cain's offering is because it was based on human pride. You know, Cain looked at his offering with a sense of pride in himself and in his work, and he would have to say, well, you know, I've done my best. I did it my way, and I should be congratulated for such a fine offering. Surely God will accept what I bring him. And, you know, in Cain's offering, his sacrifice to the Lord, there was no remorse or grieving over sin. I think we see that. We've noticed that. There was no falling down on his face before God. There was no repentance in Cain's heart before the Lord. His work, his offering was based on human pride. And it was a total human effort. Cain wanted to make himself acceptable to God without a hint for a sacrifice of sin. Not one hint. When he brought those lovely, beautiful fruits and vegetables to God, there was nothing involved in that offering or sacrifice that had to do with what God required. There was no blood mentioned. And, you know, there are people today who have the same attitude. There are people today who will tell you, well, you know, I've tried to lead a good, clean, moral life. I've tried to obey the Ten Commandments. You know, my family loves me. The people of my community respect me. I'm educated. I help people out. Why, I help strangers out. I've joined my church. I give money to the church. I've been baptized. I've done all these wonderful things. Surely God will accept that. Why wouldn't God accept that? And, you know, those are all wonderful things to do. Don't get me wrong. when people say, well, you know, I've tried to live my life by the Ten Commandments, and I've done all these fine things for other people and done all these things for God, you know, there's nothing wrong with that. But see, the problem comes when you make that, those works and that human effort a basis for salvation, you see. People don't realize that verse in Romans 3:23, which we all know. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death. Death. When people try to live their lives, present to God their good works, their good standing in the community, the fact that other people love them and respect them, and they want God to forgive their sins and give them an eternal life, based on that, God will not do it. Folks, He won't do that. Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. If you want to get to God, if you want to get to heaven, my friend, you've got to go through the person of Jesus Christ. There is no other way. Cain thought he had the best way. Cain bought all these beautiful fruits, and they did. They probably looked beautiful and appealing and delicious, but they were unacceptable to God. In God's sight, in God's eyes, they were totally and completely worthless because they were based on human effort and human works. God will not accept human effort and human works as for the basis of salvation. And it's interesting that people, when you tell them that, when you tell people about Jesus Christ, His sacrifice on the cross for your sins, and you have to come the way that God wants them to come to be forgiven of their sins, you know, they get mad. They get angry. Cain was no exception, because at the end of verse 5 it says that, and Cain was very wroth. The word wroth means angry. He was mad, and his countenance fell. He got depressed He got a depressing look on his face. When God told Cain that I have rejected your offering, I have rejected your sacrifice, Cain was angry. You see there that Cain had no repentance, no remorse, no grief over his own sin. He brought all these beautiful fruits and vegetables, the produce of his farm, his garden, to the Lord, but there was nothing there of grievance or grieving over his own sin. And in verses 6 and 7, we see that God has a dialogue. He says a couple of things to Cain. In verse 6, and the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth, and why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted. If thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door, and unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. Here, the word sin is presented to us as a wild animal lurking at the door of Cain's life, desiring to enslave him. A wild animal lurking at the door of Cain's life, desiring to enslave him. And you know, Cain had a choice, you know. You know, when God told Abel and Cain what kind of offering and sacrifice he would accept, you know, Cain knew that. Abel knew that also. Abel brought the sacrifice to God that was required, that God wanted. Cain knew exactly what to bring to the Lord. But he didn't do it, you see. He disobeyed God. And I have a question I like that I would pose for you. After God would talk to Cain and Abel in verses 6 and 7, suppose Cain had a change of heart. Suppose Cain talked to his brother Abel, said, Abel, you know, I want to borrow some of your animals, the firstlings of your flock, and I want to go back to the Lord, and I want to present these animals as a sacrifice for my sin, and say, Lord, you know, I'm sorry, I made a mistake, I repent of my sin, and here's the sacrifice that you want me to bring. Do you think God would accept that? Absolutely. Absolutely. But there's no record. See, the tragedy and the sad part of this record here, there is no record of Cain ever going back to God and repenting of his sin. Not one word. Cain refused, and I'm sure that the Lord gave Cain some opportunities to come back. to him and present the right sacrifice to repent of his sins. That's all Cain had to do. We see how simple and how easy it was for, it would have been for Cain to go back to God with a proper sacrifice, with the proper actions in his heart, or a proper heart attitude, I should say. And if Cain would have done that, the Lord would have forgiven him with, he would have accepted Cain with open arms, open arms. But the sad tragedy of this is that Cain did not go back to the Lord and present the sacrifice that God wanted. How sad, how tragic that is. How sad. And folks, I'm going to tell you something. You know, there's people out there today who would work their lives, they were working themselves literally to the bone, doing everything they possibly can in their life to do good things for other people, do helpful things, to be a good person, a respected person, a loving person, a caring person, do everything they possibly can, working themselves to death to make themselves acceptable to God. You know, that's the sadness and the tragedy of it all. And what's even more tragic and sad is that God will not accept those human works or efforts. He will not accept them. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy we are saved. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. But to him who does not work, to him who does not bring human effort, but to him who does not work themselves to the bone trying to please God, but who, the one who believes on him who justifies the ungodly, his faith will be, he will be made righteous. You see, human effort and human works are something that God will not accept. The reason that God won't accept that is because we're all sinners before God. We can work ourselves to death. We can use all of our energy and time and money 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, trying to please God, and it won't do any good because we're still sinners before God. What are we going to do about our sin? What does God require from you and from me for our sin? Cain thought, keep saying Cable. I think that's isn't that like a Cain and Abel together? That Cain. Cain, you see, tried to please God by human works and human effort. Surely these beautiful fruits and vegetables, these grains that I've raised and I've worked so hard for, surely God will accept that offering. And God didn't. He didn't. And he won't. He won't. And we see also in verse 8, if we go back to our text, in verse 8, Cain and Abel were talking and they were out in the field. Cain rose up against his brother Abel and murdered him, killed him. Now, we're not exactly told what Cain and Abel were talking about. We could speculate on that. We're not exactly told how Cain killed Abel, with a rock, with a knife, with some sort of farming implement of some sort he used as a weapon. We're not told about that either. But the fact is, Cain murdered his own brother. And why did Cain murder his brother? Because he was jealous. I think if we, now the text really doesn't say, give us direct evidence, but I think that we're safe in saying that Cain was jealous of his brother and the sacrifice that God, he took to God, because God accepted Abel's sacrifice, but not Cain. And Cain was, he was angry. He was really, really mad at God. And he, in a jealous rage, in a fit of anger, he murdered his own brother. And it's interesting, in the book of Hebrews, it states that Abel offered a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, and God declared Abel righteous. God declared Abel righteous, and not Cain. God did not declare Cain righteous at all. And Cain was an ungodly man. He was committed to his own selfish way. That's the only thing Cain cared about. He didn't care about his sin. He didn't care about bringing the right sacrifice offering to God. The only thing that Cain cared about was himself and his work and his effort, his fruit, his garden, his vegetables, his offering to God. You see. And further we see that in verses 9 through 16 of this chapter that God confronts Cain and judges his sin. In verse 9, the Lord said unto Cain, Cain, where's your brother Abel? And Cain said, I don't know. I don't know. Am I my brother's keeper? And that's that phrase that everybody knows. And we use it kind of in a joking fashion. But Cain was not joking. He was being sarcastic, if you can believe that, sarcastic to the Lord. Am I my brother's keeper, Lord? I mean, you know. First of all, Cain lied to God. He said, I don't know where Abel's at. Of course, you know, the Lord knew. He knew everything about Cain, what he did. And, you know, it's fascinating here that in verse 9 that if you notice, Cain had no remorse or no caring, no love, no repentance. No love or caring for his brother. There was no repentance, no feelings of shame or guilt or any of that thing. Or any of those things. What a wicked, evil man Cain was. And again, I would ask you that same question I asked earlier. At this point in the dialogue, even after Cain had murdered his brother, and he had a change of heart, and he took the right sacrifice to God, and he was genuinely and sincerely repentant in his heart, and he was weeping over his sin and sorry for his wicked acts and sins, and he asked the Lord to forgive him. Would God forgive him? Certainly he would. Certainly God would. See, brother, sister in Christ, we all know this. God is a merciful, gracious, compassionate God. Anyone, any man, any woman, any boy, any girl who comes to God and asks, Lord, please forgive my sins, he will answer that prayer. He will answer that prayer. Lord, I am sorry for my sins. I want to turn away from my sins, and I want to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. Would God forgive that person? Absolutely. Absolutely. And the sad, tragic thing about Cain is that he never went back to God and repented of his sins. How horrible. How horrible. And we may shake our heads today and wonder in our minds about the hardness of Cain's heart. But you know, folks, our hearts are just like Cain sometimes. The only difference is that we repented of our sins. Those of us this morning here who know the Lord Jesus personally, we've repented of our sins. We've asked God to forgive our sins. And he has. He's done that for you and for me. And there's not a person in this world who would cry out to God about their sin and ask the Lord Jesus to forgive their sins and believe in him as their Savior. There's not one person in this world whom God wouldn't forgive. Because they are coming to God that God's way. Cain, you see, was coming his way. Cain's way was of salvation was based on human effort and human works. And God will not accept that. The prophet Isaiah said that all our righteous deeds are as filthy rags to the Lord. Filthy rags. When the Lord looked down on that offering that Cain had brought, he was repulsed. He was offended. Because the Lord knew that that offering was totally and completely worthless. Worthless. And the opportunity that God gave Cain, I mean, you know, it's amazing that Cain did not go back to the Lord. And we see that in verse 11, that God put a curse on Cain. He cursed Cain two ways. First of all, Cain would, from that here on out, he would have a lot of trouble being a farmer and trying to grow things as a farmer. That's one thing. And also, Cain would be a fugitive and wanderer for the rest of his life. In verse 13, Cain told the Lord, he said, and Cain said unto the Lord, verse 13, my punishment is greater than I can bear. That word punishment can be rendered iniquity. My iniquity is greater than I can bear. It's interesting, but I found out there's some older Hebrew manuscripts render that phrase, my iniquity is too great to be forgiven. My iniquity is too great to be forgiven. I can't vouch for the accuracy of that, but I just put it out there to you as an alternate rendering. But Cain is saying to God that Cain would live the rest of his life bearing his own sin. Bearing his own sin. And when I thought about that, I immediately thought of 1 Peter 2:24. And I don't want to read it. I can't remember all of it. I'll have to turn to it. 1 Peter 2:24, who is, now keep in mind when I said that Cain was going to bear his own sin, 1 Peter 2:24 says, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree. My friend, today we have a sin bearer. We have someone who has borne our sins in his own body on the cross, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. Here is poor Cain, this evil, wicked man. I do feel sorry for him because he's going to live the rest of his life bearing his own sin. There are people today in this world who are living under the guilt and the burden of their own sins. Their own sins are weighing them down. Their own sins are causing so much guilt in their lives. And they do so many wicked, and they're wondering, why do I do these wicked, awful, evil things? It's because we're all sinners before God. But there's pardon, there's forgiveness, there's eternal life at the cross of Jesus Christ. That's what God offers to you and me this morning. Cain didn't bring the proper sacrifice to God. Abel did. If we want to come to God this morning, we must believe and trust in Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ only, his sacrifice on the cross for our sins only, and by faith receive our Savior, the Savior, as our own. If we do that, God will forgive all our sins. He will pardon all our sins. He will give us a home in heaven. You see how simple and easy that is? It's simple and easy for us, but it was very costly to God. It cost the death of his own son on the cross for our sins. That's how costly it was. And here's poor Cain, a fugitive, a vagabond, a wanderer over the whole earth, bearing his own sins. How sad, how tragic that is. And there are people out there today who are bearing their own sins where they don't have to. They can come to Jesus Christ and find relief, find forgiveness, and find pardon for their sins. How wonderful it is to know that all your sins are forgiven. And if you walk out of this building this morning and die today, if you know the Lord Jesus personally, you will go straight to heaven to be with him. Poor Cain. He didn't do that. Cain turned his back on the Lord. He would not go back to God and repent. There is no record in the book of Genesis anywhere that Cain ever went back to the Lord and repented of his sin and asked God to forgive him. No record at all. How sad, how sad. And yet, today there are people out there who will live their whole lives bearing their sin when they have a sin bearer already. The Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, he is our sin bearer. He is our Savior. He is our Lord. He is our Master. He will provide forgiveness and pardon for the guilty, lost sinner. And we can rejoice in that. Because those of us this morning, in this building, in this auditorium, who know Jesus Christ personally as our Savior, we can be assured that he has forgiven all our sins, every sin. He has given us pardon for every single sin. And he has given us eternal life, a home in heaven. What a wonderful Savior. What a wonderful Savior. And if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ personally this morning, I invite you, I hope that you think about believing and trusting him as your Savior. You know, I don't know where your heart stands before God, but God knows. God knows your heart. And it's up to you to go to the Lord and believe and trust the Lord Jesus as your own Savior. Human effort and human works won't get it done as far as God is concerned. We must go to the cross, and we must fall down on our face before the Lord Jesus and say, Lord, I'm a guilty sinner. Please forgive my sins. I accept you and trust you as my Savior right now. That's what God wants.
pray together.
Our Father in heaven, we come to you this morning in the name of our sin-bearer, the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, as we've seen this morning, there are people in the world today who are bearing their own sins. And Father, we do pray for these dear people. We pray, Lord, that they will lay down their sins at the cross. They would go to you, Lord Jesus, for forgiveness and for pardon. They would go to you, Lord Jesus, to receive eternal life. We just commit these people to you. We pray, Heavenly Father, that what we've learned here this morning may stimulate us to go out and tell others about our blessed Savior, the one who died on the cross for our sins. We give you praise, thanksgiving this morning in the name and for the sake of our loving, compassionate Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray in his holy name. Amen.
Number 191. Would you be free from the burden of sin? There's power in the blood. Number 191. Just the first verse, and the service will be over. I'll ask you to stand as we sing. Verse number 1.